All right, a lot going on around the NBA as always. Enjoy doing these top NBA stories. I really do. I like going around the league. Spent so much time talking about the Lakers. Now I get a chance to talk a little bit about everything else going on in the NBA. Okay, first story, and this is the big one today. Top NBA stories, Kevin Durant, KD out for the next four games. I want to read off the exact tweet here from Sham Sharania from The Athletic. Came out earlier today. So he's going to miss four games. This is part of the health and protocol safety that the NBA has, obviously, in regards to all these different plays. Alex Caruso's already missed. I think Caruso now has missed four games. So let me read this from Sham Sharania. Sham says on Kevin Durant, he says that Nets star Kevin Durant expected to require 7 days of quarantine before returning to action due to contact tracing exposure to COVID-19. This is part of NBA's return to play process and protocol amid the coronavirus pandemic, with certain people, players, coaches, staffers quarantining for 7 days when exposed. Durant set to be sidelined the next 7 days, and there's four Brooklyn Nets games in the middle of that. I think the NBA has been very, very fortunate. And, you know, when you hear Kevin Durant's name, that's different. I mean, look, Alex Caruso, great role player for the Lakers. It's different when you say Kevin Durant. And you saw this already with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. This was earlier in the season when Rockets couldn't even suit up in that first game they had for the season. This is going to happen around the NBA. This is obviously going to happen around the league. Curtis, this is my one hope. My one hope. In regards to the NBA, you just hope that the playing field is as equal as possible. And, you know, when we went to Orlando and the Lakers were part of that Orlando bubble, the one thing I always feared was, well, if a player, let's say, got COVID and that player was going to miss 2 weeks of a playoff series and that was an all-star caliber player, that now that's that, you know, specific team basically did not move on in the postseason simply because that player is out. That's the only thing you don't want to see in the NBA this year.
100%. I guess the only issue is we can't control this virus. We kind of have to accept what happens with it, and we have to deal with it. So there'll always be an excuse made, but unfortunately that's just what we have to deal with, right?
Well, I will say this about KD. It's been great to watch him so far. I don't really know what's going on in Brooklyn. They start out like 2-0. They're blowing everybody out. Now they're 3-4 or something along those lines.
I just remember Kyrie walking around with Sage on the court or whatever that was.
I remember, too. He was in Boston. He was saging the entire place. Absolutely. That's all I kind of remember, too. But, no, KD is going to be out. And like I said, at the end of the day, all you're really hoping for is that whichever team runs into any of this stuff, that this is not something that is, you know, in the way come postseason or something along those lines. Who'd Brooklyn play today? Brooklyn played today? I'm trying to see here. I am right. Brooklyn is 3-4 on the season. So they're got off to a good start, lost three of their last four games. Okay, another story here. Going around top NBA stories. So Shannon Frye, who does a podcast with Ali Clifton of Spectrum, Richard Jefferson as well. This was actually on a Dubs Talk podcast, NBC Sports on the Dubs Talk podcast. So he was talking about the Warriors run from 2016 to 2019. All right. This is with Kevin Durant. He said, the Warriors getting Kevin Durant. Yes, you won championships, which I guess is all that matters. I think at the end, and I'm just saying this as someone from the outside, it almost looks like it diminishes everything that was accomplished before him. It takes the allure of the Warriors away. And until the Warriors go back without him, it's like you had to have a stacked team with five Hall of Famers to win. And I think that puts a lot of unnecessary pressure on Steph, which is not fair because he becomes an MVP candidate every single year, but he's played with what we know is that he's played with two or three Hall of Famers. Okay, basically, long story short, Shannon Frye played in the NBA for, you know, a number of years. Curtis, you know what's funny? Every time I hear the chatter about KD when he went and played with the Golden State Warriors, how did you feel when he went? How did you feel when Kevin Durant decided he was going to leave the Thunder and he was going to go play for the Warriors? What was your initial reaction when that happened?
The same feeling I had when LeBron announced he was going to Miami originally back in the day.
Okay, so I'm with you on that. I'm the same exact way. And I think now as the dust has settled, If there's one thing that it did for the Warriors, first of all, the one thing I hated about KD leaving Oklahoma City, they should have beat the Warriors that year that he ended up leaving. You remember they were up 3-1 and Warriors came all the way back and eventually won the series, had game six in Oklahoma City. KD and Russell Westbrook both collapsed at the end of the game and couldn't find a way to finish off that game. That's the game I think Klay went for 40, 42, something along those lines. He was just the man in that game. But I'm with you. I hated the fact that he went to the Warriors. And as the dust has settled, I still appreciate KD as much as I appreciate him, you know, early on in his career. I really, really do. But it just never seemed like when he was in Golden State, like he was home. You know what I mean? Like it felt like he was a visitor grabbing some things and then take it off to go after he got a couple championships in the making.
I mean, he started his career in a Supersonics jersey, you know?
Yeah.
And then now I think it also didn't help his case that he went to the team that beat his team previously. I think that's really
never understood that one.
That's really what, like, that's what Stephen A. didn't like. That's what a lot of people didn't like.
Well,
like,
this is what Channing Frye is referring to. Channing Frye is basically saying that you were a squad that was already winning championships before he got there, and then he came, or they had won one championship. Then he came, and you went to 3 straight finals, winning 2 of them. If KD and Klay don't get injured, they're beating the Toronto Raptors. They just got injured. I get it, and I'm sure if Michael Thompson was sitting here right now, he would say, you know, every player has every right to go wherever they want. I'm not arguing that. That's never the argument. You're right. If you're a free agent, if I choose tomorrow to not work here and I go work somewhere else, that's okay. I mean, it would be my decision to make. But from a competitive perspective, I think a lot of people hated it because he left a team that was competing for a championship to go play for the team that was already the best team in the league. And he's the best player. I mean, second best player in the NBA when he left. Okay, I want to keep going here. Steph Curry last night versus the Portland Trailblazers. 62 points last night for Steph Curry, 18 of 31 from the field, 8 of 16 from the three-point line, and 18 of 19 from the free throw line. The greatest shooter that I think the game has ever seen. You know, Steph, I got a weird relationship with Steph. I love his game. I love kind of what he's brought to the NBA. I appreciate him. I think he's a team-first player. I think that's what I appreciate the most, watching him play. But if you think Steph Curry is, you know, carrying a team to the playoffs on his own, it's just not going to happen. And that's not his fault. But, you know, you try to compare what LeBron does on a night-to-night bit, you just can't. That's why when people say the most valuable player, Steph is arguably the greatest shooter of all time. But my love-hate relationship with him is I could never put him in the category of some of these other guys that I'm talking about.
That's because we had Kobe take everything on his shoulders for 6-7 years before we got any good players here. I think that also doesn't help.
Well, I mean, the Kobe part of it, listen, even Kobe won 3 with Shaq, right? I mean, Kobe's not doing it by himself. And then eventually when he did it with Pau Gasol, yes, he was the best player in the league at that time, but you got to have help, so I get it. I think with Steph, those pieces worked so well together with Klay and with Draymond, and throwing Sean Livingston and throwing Andre Iguodala and Steve Kerr obviously trying to coach this whole thing. This is before Kevin Durant was there. That watching Steph now, I just appreciate the type of player that he is, but I'll never put Steph, you know, if you're saying right now, if we're going through a draft and you're like, okay, which player are you drafting first? Steph ain't coming up for a while for me. And that's no disrespect to Steph. I mean, he's an amazing, amazing player. I just think there's other players that I value more than Steph Curry. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Certain players that you value more. All right, J.J. Barea on the J.J. Redick podcast. But, you know, it's a good example, Curtis. I didn't even just appreciate his 62 points. I had to break it all down as if I should have just appreciated his 62 points last night.
It's like, you know,
18 of 19 from the free
throw line. Got the credit when they were rolling. It was not just one guy. I mean, yeah. Splash Brothers, that's plural. So it's kind of hard when he's doing it.
They compliment, you know, I told this to Michael. I said, Michael, you know, Klay Thompson is not just another great shooter that was on that team. He took a lot of attention away from Steph because you cannot leave Klay Thompson open, but Klay was also a two-way player. Klay was also guarding the best player on the other opposing team. I'm not going to sit here and spend the whole time talking about Clay and Steph, but you know my point. Okay, J.J. Barea on the J.J. Redick podcast. So let me play this real quick. He's talking about the Dallas-Miami final series back in 2011. This is J.J. Barea, just recently ended his career with the Dallas Mavericks. This is what we got. Nowitzki was not going to let us lose. He's talking about the Mavs in the finals back, Mavs and the Heat back in 2011 in the finals. Nowitzki was not going to let us lose. The way he prepared the whole year for it, he hated Miami. He hated LeBron, Wade, Bosch. He's never going to say it, but he couldn't stand it. When LeBron and Wade started making fun of him by coughing when he got a little sick, that clip really hurt him. He will never say it, but he really saw the tape, and that tape really hurt him. That gave him a little bit extra that he didn't need, but it gave him a little extra to finish them off. So he's talking about that championship in 2011. Do you remember that moment, Curtis? You remember that moment where Dwayne Wade and LeBron are making fun of Dirk Nowitzki for, I don't know if he missed a game or he just had a flu or something along those lines. Do you remember that or no?
No, not really. I remember that year because I was working at Disneyland at the time, and I remember being real mad when LeBron went there. But I don't remember that moment specifically. But
okay,
I was
so
also
they were making fun of Dirk Nowitzki for, you know, being sick or whatever the case is. So, you know, I talked a little bit about this with Michael yesterday. So there's kind of two things about it. First of all, I get it, and you know, there are a lot of people that just wanted to see the Heat lose. They wanted to see LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. They wanted to see that team, those superstars that were put together, those three all-stars, they wanted to see that team fail. This is the first championship they had gone to together. And there was that moment, and you should go back and look on it, because they're literally with reporters kind of clowning on Dirk Nowitzki. And I got to tell you, I became the biggest Dallas Mavericks fan, and nobody thought the Mavs had any shot against the, you know, obviously the Miami Heat. And in that final game and those couple key possessions, I remember game two, what did Miami go up? 13, 15 points and, you know, 6 minutes ago in the fourth quarter. They were about to take a 2-0 lead. Dallas comes all the way back. That entire series was just such a classic series, and it was literally the underdog beating Goliath, right? It was the underdog finding a way to beat a team in the Miami Heat that, of course, was supposed to win that series. But the one thing I will say that kind of bothers me about this J.J. Barea story on the J.J. Redick podcast, J.J. Barea should not be telling that story. Dirk should be. You know what I mean? What if Dirk doesn't want that story out? You know, for J.J. Barea to be the one that's kind of explaining that story, it definitely, probably should be a story that should not be coming from J.J. Barea as he explains that NBA series.
Dirk's so nice too, man. He was like one of the all-time nicest guys.
No,
I think
Dirk
he's probably too nice to say anything anyway.
No, but listen, I mean, and Dirk was the man, and Dirk obviously 21 years in the NBA, and finally got his NBA championship, but. Yeah, that was – and even Jason Kidd. Obviously, Jason Kidd was a part of that team as well, so you got some kind of ties with the Lakers right now. But just the J.J. Barea factor of making mention of that story, that's the only thing that I kind of hesitate on. All right, those are our top NBA stories. When we come back, a couple things I want to do. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation, by the way, is coming up at 8:30 here, so in about 15 minutes or so. When we come back, I got some clips that I want to play here. Paul George yesterday was talking about some of the different chirping going on around the NBA in regards, at least in his direction. Yesterday, the Suns took on the Los Angeles Clippers. So I want to play that. I got some other sound clips I want to play. So we appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Also want to spend a little time on LeBron James and what he's accomplished so far this season and what we could expect the rest of the way. So thank you for being a part of the show. If you want to hop on, you could call in at 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, thank you for being a part of the show. Coming up at 8:30, Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. Tomorrow, the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Will be the second game against the Grizz in a row. Lakers tip-off will be at 3:30. The pregame show will start at 5 o'clock. I want to hit on LeBron real quick. So I want to – got a couple things here on LeBron James. So LBJ turned 36 years old back on December 30th. And is this dude going to slow down? Is that happening anytime soon? I don't have the answer to that, but what I will tell you is he's been great so far through these first seven games of the season. And forget about the 23.5 points a night. Forget about the 8 rebounds and the 7 assists. This is what he's averaged so far, obviously through the first seven games so far. He's still controlling the game. You know, he's still a player that the moment he steps foot on the court, you got to respect everything from LeBron James. You have to respect his jumper. You got to respect his ability to drive the ball. You got to respect his vision and his ability to hit guys that are cutting or thread the needle in a nice pass or just kind of control the flow of things on the offense. And I'm not talking about what he does and what he means to the team when they're in film room, film sessions, during travel, whatever the case is. A lot of these guys talk about how much chemistry that this Lakers team has had these last couple of years. LeBron's the foundation of it. So forget about just what he's doing on the floor. I can only imagine all the different ways that he's contributing off the floor as well. And, you know, obviously that's key. That's something to pay attention to. But he's still the most important player on the floor, or still the most important player on the court every single game. There's just no question about it. Don't know how long LeBron will be the best player in the league, but he's everything to this team's success. And I think these first seven games, look, we could look back. It was only 3.5 months ago or so where the Lakers were winning championship number 17, and he was the Finals MVP. And you know, obviously, there's a lot that plays into that. So it's not like it's been 2 years since that happened. But he just turned 36. We talked about all his accomplishments that he's had once he did turn 36. But here we are, still continuing to watch him on a night-in, night-out basis just deliver for the Lakers, and he's been everything. He really, really has been everything. Take AD as an example. As great as he is, AD has off nights. You know, I've spent some post-game shows. This is one of the things. Lakers played the Portland Trailblazers, and I was telling Michael, I said, Michael, you know, he wasn't aggressive enough. He's got to be more aggressive. Why isn't he taking 20-plus shots a night? Why isn't this? Why isn't that? But we know how great AD is. Yesterday, AD struggled from the field, 6 of 18 from the field, but had 3 block shots and 3 steals. So it just kind of shows his dominance on both sides of the floor. Even if his shot's not going, he finds ways to contribute. But as great as AD is, LeBron is just everything. You know, I try to compare LeBron with other great players in the NBA. If there was a time that, you know, you could do this. There was a time that when, if you guys remember Shaq in his absolute prime. Remember Shaq in his absolute prime? Those 2000 to 99 to 2003, whatever it was, right? Just kind of use that window. And there was a time where Shaq, you could put him on any team in the NBA, and that squad was going to be competing for a championship, they were instantly a playoff team, right? Instantly a playoff team. But that was Shaq for this just window. There was this small window where that's where Shaq was, and that's how dominating he was. LeBron's 36 years old, and he's still making it happen. 36 years old, and there's not a player in the NBA I'd rather have than LeBron James. Okay, yeah, if you're talking for the next 10 years, of course that's a different conversation. But for right now, there's nobody else I'd rather have on this team than LeBron James. And he's 36 years old. It is amazing. LeBron was talking about how he's kind of trying to make sure he's, I guess, pacing himself. Take a listen to this, LBJ. This was yesterday in the postgame show.
I didn't really have that opportunity to kind of shut down my body and then go and revamp my body and get ready for the season. It just wasn't enough time. So, you know, being able to, you know, it's a fine line now where how much we push, you know, how much rest, you know, and also stay in good rhythm, you know, because we have built, myself and our team, we built so much great rhythm in the bubble that, you know, want to try to continue that as much as we can. So, you know, for me, it's always about just having my mind and my body fresh. And if my mind is sharp, then I can go out and do whatever I need to do on the floor, you know. And if it's not, then it hurts not only myself, but it hurts our team. So, you know, that's the most important for me.
All right, that's LBJ right there. Kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of just his really, truly his greatness. Okay, I want to play something. I kind of tease it here. There's been a lot of chatter about Paul George, let's just say, over the last few months. And earlier today, Ramona Shelburne was on The Jump with, I think David Fizdale was on there, Rachel Nichols obviously hosting it. And the conversation about Paul George came up. And this is coming because Paul George yesterday, post-game after they beat the Suns, he said that there's a lot of chirping since the post-bubble. He said, I had a tough year last year. People think it's sweet. Man, people think it's sweet because I was down. I didn't hear none of this in my 10 years in the league, but last year, people living on that last year, and I got to answer that, and I'm ready to compete. I'm back. Take a listen to what Ramona Shelburne was saying specifically about Paul George and some of the chirping going on around the league about PG-13.
Yeah, and there will be until they win. I don't think there's anything he can say other than winning and other than just playing great every night to silence his critics. Because we all know what happened in the bubble last year. We all know the Clippers melted down. We all know he hit the side of the backboard, okay? We all know, right? But right. The thing with Paul, that something that we in the media appreciate but also hurts him in some ways, is he is so open. Mm-hmm. He's so telling you exactly what he's feeling in that moment, which is great. I want to know. Don't you want to know? Makes for good TV, makes for good stories. But I think he might have to stop that a little. Just, like, if you prick him, he bleeds. And I think he just needs to not let anyone get close to him. Don't let anyone get under your skin. Don't be so open. Don't put your guts on the floor all the time, because people are using it against you at this point.
All right, that's a conversation I want to have. So with Trevor Lane, he's coming up here in the next few minutes. I want to spend some time on this because we got a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about, obviously, around the Los Angeles Lakers. But I want to get his thoughts on some of these kind of ancillary stories around the NBA, Paul George being one of them. I thought that was a kind of an interesting conversation to hear PG talking about it. And I think Ramona makes a fantastic point. At the end of the day, unless you win, nobody really is going to give you that much attention, or they're going to give you the respect that you're looking for. And I think for PG, especially last season, the way it ended for the Clippers, that was kind of you couldn't have ended any worse. So he is going to get some chirping. Is it necessary? Probably not. But I guess this is how the league is for a player like Paul George. The only way he shuts up those critics is by winning. All right, Trevor Lane coming up next of Lakers Nation. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Lakers 5-2 on the season. No problem offensively for the Los Angeles Lakers. They take on the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow. Want to welcome in Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation. Trevor, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Alan, I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing, man? Thanks for having me again.
Of course, of course. Okay, let's kind of get your assessment here. Here we are, 2 weeks in. I think tomorrow will be two full weeks for the Lakers. What do you think so far? What's kind of standing out to you? Let's look at offensively what's standing out to you so far for the Lakers. Any specific players or themes that I think you could key in on?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've seen them doing quite a bit is move the ball. Just the passing has been tremendous, and it's so much fun to watch when they really get that ball pinging around. And that's a credit to, you know, everybody on the team really for buying into that mentality of moving the ball along to a better shot. But you can also give some credit specifically to Marc Gasol. I really like the way that he focuses on distributing the ball, and that's helped the Lakers, especially with their starting five, to really get open looks. So on the offensive end of the floor, I think that's the biggest change from last season, that we're seeing that ball really move around and generate open looks that way.
Trev, I spent some time to start the show, and I was talking about what player outside of LeBron and AD have you just been most impressed with? What player is either somebody returning to the Lakers or one of these new additions? Does the Schroeders or the Montrez or Kuz or Casey, is there a player that you've been most impressed with so far to get the season started?
Yeah, I think it's Dennis Schroeder. You know, outside of LeBron and AD, Dennis Schroeder has been tremendous. And you know what? The big question marks about him were, you know, could he continue shooting from behind the arc at a high level? We didn't know if last season was a fluke or not. And then could he defend at just 6'1"? Would he get picked on the defensive end of the floor? And I feel like he's answered both of those questions and then some. He's been tremendous spotting up. He's been doing a great job there. And then his defense, he's been so tenacious, so feisty. Even when a bigger player tries to back him down, he is absolutely battling. So he has been... he's been probably the third best player on the team, and that's a major credit to him because he's been great.
No, he's been consistent. And, you know, one of the things, Trev, I don't know where you were when he first came over. Did you think he'd be starting? I mean, I didn't think so. I thought he'd be coming off the bench, and I was actually lobbying, thinking that, oh, let's do what we did last year. Let's go Wes Matthews kind of in place of Danny Green and have KCP in there as well. Did you think he'd be starting? And also, how do you like him in the starting lineup? I've kind of churned a little bit here, and I'm more along the lines of I think you got to keep him in there.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Schroeder was going to be starting. I thought that it might be a little bit more political than anything else. We know he was pushing hard for a starting job at the beginning of the season, but then since the regular season has started, I think he has certainly played his way in there. The way there's no reason to remove him from the starting lineup right now because he's been so good and so efficient and so consistent game in and game out. You know you're going to get scoring from him. You're going to get energy. He's going to be able to handle the ball when LeBron needs to take a possession or two and let someone else run the offense. The big question was always, do we need someone else to handle the ball with a bench unit? And so far, Frank Vogel has been able to divvy up those responsibilities and mix and match his lineups enough to where it hasn't been an issue. He's even used Talen Horton-Tucker on occasion as the ball handler for the second unit. So I did think that Schroeder was going to start, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation here on Lakers Talk. You can Trevor's doing a ton of stuff, always on YouTube, posting up new videos, and certainly all over social media and great content. Trev, just to kind of continue this, I know I'm kind of isolating some players here, and we'll get into the upcoming schedule and everything else. LeBron turned 36 on December 30th, and I think January 1st, triple-double. Yesterday, two rebounds away from another triple-double. Is this just what we go ahead and expect every single night? I mean, how much are you appreciating what you're watching? Because I think I take it for granted. I have a difficult time, you know, even doing a post-game show and starting off a night saying, okay, I want to talk about LeBron. He just does it so consistently that I don't think I'm truly appreciating it. Yesterday, a perfect example, I started the post-game show on Montrezl Harrell and Wesley Matthews because I was excited about what the bench was doing, where LeBron is obviously carrying the Lakers again. Do you fall into that trap a lot?
Yeah, I do the exact same thing, Alan. You know, we've come to expect excellence because he's been doing it for so long at this point. He's just been incredible, and that he keeps doing it it's amazing. I mean, at this point, I say it all the time, but is this guy even human? At 36 years old, he's putting up triple-doubles in the NBA, still has a good argument to be the best player in the league. It's ridiculous, and you're right, because we just expect it, we tend to focus on the unexpected things. If Trez gets a double-double, or you know, Dennis Schroeder scores 22, or whatever, we tend to focus on that stuff and forget about, or not forget about, but maybe not focus enough on LeBron James and the work that he's doing. He is a marvel.
What have you thought so far about AD this season? I think he's had some up and down games. You know, the one thing I will say, last night's a perfect example. He struggled from the field, 6 of 15, but he still ended up with 3 steals and 3 block shots, and I think 9 or 10 rebounds, something along those lines. But overall, do you think he's been aggressive enough? I mean, how would you kind of assess what we've seen from AD so far?
I feel like it was a little bit of a slow start for AD. It was something where it looked like he was kind of trying to play his way. I don't know if it's into shape or just into rhythm or whatever, but he looked a little bit more passive, a little bit more hesitant than we're used to seeing from him. The just mind-blowing defensive plays where he comes flying in out of nowhere and blocks a shot. We weren't seeing that happen nearly as often. I did think that the defense went up to another level in this last game against the Memphis Grizzlies. But the offensive end, I've been pretty pleased with the fact that the jumper, that mid-range jumper, looks like it is for real. And that was something that really popped up in the playoffs and became a major weapon for him. It looks like that's going to be a thing moving forward here. I know he didn't shoot great in this last game, but him adding that to his arsenal with consistency, I think that's going to be incredibly important for him. And the rest of it, it's still so early. I'm not going to worry too much if Anthony Davis isn't going crazy right now on the defensive end of the floor. I think he's learning from LeBron that sometimes you got to play smart early in the season and then kind of ramp things up as the year goes on.
Trev, Lakers have, I think, a great opportunity to really take advantage of these first 15 games of the season. And I spent some time on this a little bit earlier in the show. So tomorrow you got the Memphis Grizzlies, and this is a depleted Memphis team, and really their star power, their young stars are Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., Justice Winslow. These players are obviously not in the lineup, so you're going to expect to take care of business tomorrow. Then you got the Spurs and the Chicago Bulls waiting for you at home, and those are two teams that are both below 500. After that, Houston for two games on the road, Oklahoma City Thunder, the Pelicans, and the Golden State Warriors. How important do you think it is for the Lakers to take advantage of this soft schedule that they have before they go on this East Coast road trip? What kind of an opportunity do you think that is?
I think it's certainly important to a degree. The schedule makers have been kind to them, giving them this schedule early on. What it allows them to do is kind of figure things out on the fly. They didn't really get much of a training camp. They've got a lot of new faces coming in, so they can make mistakes and that are just growing pains and still win basketball games. And that's what we've seen so far. We've seen them even against the Grizzlies in this last game, right, where they made some mistakes in the middle of the game. The Grizzlies kind of hung around. And then when it came time to win, LeBron James and Anthony Davis just pushed down on the gas pedal and they pulled away and did what they needed to do to win the game. But in the meantime, some of the new guys were getting a lot of really important reps and learning about what coverages they need to follow defensively and things like that. We saw Talen Horton-Tucker pick up a number of things in that one. So it's going to be something similar to that. I don't think Frank Vogel is going to play LeBron 40 minutes or anything in desperation to get a win against, say, the Houston Rockets or something like that. I think he's going to stick to his guns. They're going to play limited minutes. The wins, I think, will come. And if it means they have to drop a game or two here or there, long term, I think that's the more important thing here. What is the team turning into, and is everybody staying healthy? So I think that's going to be the focal point here.
Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Trev, just looking at the Western Conference for a quick second. So how would you kind of assess? I mean, if you look at the standings right now, Clippers are at 5-2, Phoenix is at 5-2, Lakers in at 5-2 as well. What do you think of the West? I mean, do you still think that there's a huge drop off between the Lakers and some of these other teams? Do you think it's closer than we're maybe giving respect to the Clippers or some of these other Western Conference opponents? How would you assess some of the upper echelon teams in the West?
I think right now it's Lakers and Clippers, and then there's a bit of a drop-off after that. Been certainly disappointed with Denver, and I know that Denver Nuggets have been disappointed with what they've been doing. But you look at what's going on early here in the NBA or just even the Western Conference, it's kind of a mess where a lot of teams are kind of scrambling to figure things out. A lot of players are out of rhythm, and that's just, you know, that comes with starting the season a couple of days before Christmas when players aren't really ready and the quick turnaround and all of those things being a factor. So I do think it's something where the Lakers are still at the top with the Clippers. The Clippers are up there with them. It's probably a 1A, 1B type scenario. And then there's a drop off after that, because I feel like these teams, the Lakers and Clippers especially, when they really need to win a basketball game, we're not going to see them doing some of the things that they're doing right now. I think when it comes time to win the game, we'll see more of an aggressive LeBron. We'll see a more aggressive Anthony Davis, and that helps to separate them from the rest of the West. So that hasn't, my opinion on that hasn't changed, despite the admittedly nice start from Phoenix, and that's great for their franchise.
Senior writer for Lakers Nation, Trevor Lane, joining Lakers Talk. You could follow him on Twitter, at Trevor_Lane. Also, go look him up on YouTube. He's doing a great job for a lot of Laker content. Trevor, what did you take, you know, yesterday? I'm going to kind of go around the NBA here for a quick second here. Yesterday, Paul George talked about how there's a lot of chirping post-bubble, just in general, kind of focused on him. How do you think people kind of – how do you think other players and fans right now view Paul George? And, you know, from his perspective, is the only way to kind of quiet down the noise is you got to deliver in the postseason or nobody's really going to pay attention?
Yeah, I mean, this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, and so people are going to remember what just happened in the playoffs. And that's, you know, that's why we had so many people that were saying that Marc Gasol was a bad addition to the Lakers because he didn't perform well in the playoffs. I mean, what we just saw in the bubble in Orlando is largely what's going to stick as the opinion for a little bit here until things start to change around. And Paul George has had a great start to the season. But yeah, things were really ugly for the Clippers. I mean, you blew a 3-1 series lead. And so, yeah, people are going to have some things to say about that. And Paul George, he's free to have his opinion. He can think that there's a lot of chirping going on and everything. But ultimately, if the Clippers win and Paul George is at the center of it, then that's all going to go away. It's not him making a comment isn't going to change that.
You know, Trev, it's funny. I look at the Western Conference right now, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, you look at the you're trying to kind of predict. I do this a lot on the pregame show with Michael Thompson. It's like, all right, what eight teams are going to make the playoffs? And whatever eight I predicted just a couple weeks ago, I find myself all over the place now. I mean, the West is, you know, you said it earlier, everybody's kind of on a game-in, game-out basis trying to figure things out. I mean, hell, we just saw Alex Caruso's missed a few games because of the health and safety protocols. Kevin Durant was announced earlier today for the Brooklyn Nets. He's going to miss 7 days, which means he's going to miss four games. I don't know if I could figure out what teams are for real and what teams aren't yet. I really can't. And I kind of go through the Western Conference, teams like the Pelicans. I'm like, is that a playoff team? Maybe they are. The Golden State Warriors, now that Draymond's back, is that a playoff team? Do you kind of have a read on the Western Conference? I don't really have a read on this conference yet.
No, I don't either. And the crazy thing is, here we are. We're about, 10% of the way through the season, and I still can't make heads or tails of it. It's hard to tell what's what. We're seeing so many blowout performances. I mean, look, the Clippers lost by 51, and this is a good team. Right, so we're seeing these
were down wild 50 at halftime.
Yeah, exactly. And so you it's hard to figure out exactly where everything is going to stand. I think it's going to be another few weeks before we get a real sense for who the top teams in the West are and who's at the bottom, who might be in the playoffs, who might not. I think it's going to be tough to start making those projections for at least another few more weeks.
All right, Trev, final one. What should we expect tomorrow? Lakers and the Grizzlies would be the second game in Memphis for the Lakers, trying to go 4-0 on this road trip. What are you expecting tomorrow?
I mean, always tough to beat a team on their home floor twice in a row, even if it is a very injured team like the Grizzlies. But again, bottom line, the Lakers have LeBron. The Lakers have Anthony Davis. The Grizzlies don't have anybody that can match that. So I think when it is winning time, the Lakers are going to do what they need to do to walk away with the W. I would expect to see a little bit more experimentation during the game from Frank Vogel. I think we're going to see more guys figuring out their roles and adapting and everything like that. But yeah, end of the day, against a team like the Grizzlies, I think that's a game that the Lakers are going to take.
Trev, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Appreciate you having me.
All right, man. That's Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. Follow him at Trevor_Lane on Twitter. Again, he does a lot on YouTube, really puts out great content. I think, you know, one thing that kind of stuck out to me from that conversation with Trevor, he's talking about, let's just use Talen Horton-Tucker as an example. Even a guy like Kuzma. A lot of these games, you know, you're almost hoping for that the Lakers use games like tomorrow against the Memphis Grizzlies where hopefully these guys get a ton of minutes. I mean, that's kind of what you're hoping for is they can learn as much as they can. I know Kuz is not a player that really is going to – I mean, yes, he needs still a lot more experience in the NBA, but he's not like Talen Horton-Tucker where he hasn't been playing the last couple of years in the NBA. He has been. But THT, I think, is a good example on that front. Okay, a couple things I want to do when we come back. I want to preview the Lakers versus the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow when we come back. Got some sound from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Also, we'll look at some of the NBA scores around the league. So games going on right now. A couple games just ended, so we'll do all that coming up next. Thank you for being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, biggest game of the year tomorrow. Lakers, Memphis Grizzlies. Okay, maybe not. Lakers and the Grizzlies tomorrow, so they got a chance. Lakers got a chance to go 4-0 on this road trip, run their record to 6-2 to start off the season. Best record in the NBA right now, I believe, after the Philadelphia 76ers won tonight as well. I think they're sitting at 6-1, so I think they got the best record in the NBA. And Philly, yep, Philly 6-1. Orlando out of nowhere 5-2. Indiana beat the Pelicans in overtime by 2 today. They're 5-2. Pelicans obviously are out to a good start as well. Even the New York Knicks sit at 4-3. So I cannot assess the NBA right now. Okay, a couple things for tomorrow. Couple things to keep an eye out for tomorrow's game. 3:30 pregame show, 5 p.m. tip-off. Just respecting your opponent. And I hope the Lakers, I hope they don't walk into tomorrow's game. And it can easily happen. I mean, this is not a matchup where everybody's, let's just say that this won't be the lead on SportsCenter tomorrow. This won't be the game that everybody's talking about around the NBA. It's not against the Clippers. It's not against Philly or Milwaukee or anything like that. This is against the Memphis Grizzlies, who don't have Ja Morant, Jalen Jackson Jr. or Jaren Jackson Jr. And Justice Winslow. So this is what I would say for the Lakers, who, by the way, KCP, we heard from earlier today. He said he's not 100%, but he's going to try and give it a go tomorrow. And Alex Caruso is out tomorrow, so keep that in mind. A couple of players out for the Lakers. The hope is that the Lake Show just come to work tomorrow, handle their business, and maybe halfway through the third quarter or the start of the fourth quarter, they have the ability to sit LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's my hope. Now, I have made those types of hopes since last season, and that never seems to happen. So it's not like, obviously that's something that I think we're going to depend on. But respect your opponent, come to work, actually care about kind of taking care of business. Yesterday I thought was an interesting game because in the first quarter, Lakers kind of, first of all, the Grizzlies were hitting everything. Every shot they threw up was going in. But after the first quarter, Lakers only gave up 58 points through the final three quarters. They gave up 40 points in the second half alone. They only gave up 18 or 19 points in that fourth quarter. So Lakers defensively locked down for the final three quarters, but it would be nice, it would be really nice that we can get some rest for these superstars tomorrow. Maybe they can play under 25 minutes, something along those lines. That would certainly be amazing. Montrezl Harrell, who has been fantastic so far this year, I thought had great energy yesterday. He talked a little bit earlier today, but coach was talking specifically about Montrezl Harrell. I want to play this talking about what an asset he's been for the Lakers.
You have to honor everything he does on the offensive end, whether he's ducking in or rolling to the basket. He's really picked up his offensive rebounding, from early in the season. And, obviously gives great defensive determination and fight as well with his communication. And, I thought he did a great job not only rebounding the ball defensively, but boxing out.
All right, that's our coach right there. And, Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, those two players have been key pieces so far. And it's been nice to see Wesley Matthews these last three games. Wesley Matthews, or two of the last three games, he hit 6 3-pointers in that game against the Spurs a couple nights ago. And then yesterday comes back, hits 4 3-pointers, goes 5 of 7 from the field. So some of these new additions for the Lakers, they're really starting to show their impact. The other player that came in the offseason as well, Lakers found a way to bring Marc Gasol to the Lake Show. I thought this was interesting. Anthony Davis was talking about him yesterday. Here's AD on Marc Gasol.
It's good that I have Mark here because I've been learning a lot from Mark as far as passing big from the top, from, the elbow, from the post. I was trying to figure out, ways to kind of steal that from him. And and also Bron, you know, talking to me about that as well over the past couple of years. So just trying to get better and you know, potentially add to my game.
I'll say so far for Anthony Davis, you know, I think he's got off to a okay start. You know, it's not the – I was kind of pumping my chest before the season started. I was talking about how much I'd love to see – how much I would love to see Anthony Davis end up with an MVP this year or be in the conversation that we're 50 games in and everybody's saying, well, if you're going to talk about this player being the most valuable player, you better throw Anthony Davis in the mix. And I say that only because – you know, really, I think it would be fantastic. It would obviously be great to have that baton eventually passed to Anthony Davis where he's the most important player on the floor. And whenever that comes, that happens a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever the case is. But the reality is AD's had some, I think, struggles on the offensive end on a couple of these games so far. There are games where I'm doing a pregame show with Michael, and I'll probably mention it tomorrow as well. It would be great that he's taking north of 20 shots. He should be that aggressive for the Lakers. He needs to be that aggressive for the Lakers. I think so far this year, we're only going to see a better AD as the season progresses. And he's obviously been dealing with that calf strain, so we're not 100% sure how much that is still an issue. But last night, 3 steals and 3 blocks, even though he went 6 of 15 from the field. So Lakers got some work to do. This upcoming schedule is going to be a great opportunity for them to really just take advantage of the teams in front of them. Quick couple on these NBA scores, a couple of these games that just ended. So Dallas beat the Rockets. They're now 3-4. I'm just going to really pay attention to these games in the Western Conference. Golden State now 4-3, or they're going to be 4-3. They got a 25-point lead over the Sacramento Kings. So Kings got off to a great start, a fast start. They're now going to fall below 500. They're 3-4 if this game ends up going as going. It's 175. They have a 25-point lead to the Warriors in the fourth quarter, as they're going into the fourth quarter. And then I mentioned Sixers, who won earlier, 118-101. So that's kind of the – that's what you're looking at right now as the best teams in the NBA. The Clippers, the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Lakers – and Philadelphia sitting at 6-1 in the Eastern Conference. You know, you're going to expect teams like Boston and teams like Milwaukee, Miami to eventually be there, Brooklyn Nets to eventually be in the mix as the conversation continues to go of top teams in the NBA. But as of now, that's kind of where we are around the league. Couple quick reminders here as we get ready to wrap up the show. So right as we're done here, I'll go do Lakers talk on ESPN Los Angeles on all our social platforms. So be on Twitter, on Twitch, on Facebook, on you name it, pretty much YouTube. We'll be live. So come join us on that. We'll go for about maybe we'll do that show for about a half hour or so. So we'll be on social on that front. Tomorrow I'll be back on air at 3:30 with Michael Thompson doing the pregame show. If you missed any part of this show, you could download it on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Catch all 2 hours. Baxter Holmes and Trevor Lane joined. LA, thank you very much for being a part of the show. Lakers talk. Thank you for tuning in.